want you to set yourselves in agreement for me today that we're going to have divine utterance. Would you believe with that?
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. Paul the Apostle said in his writings, he never said, I didn't see this till this morning. I was praying about this. He never said, pray for me that I'll be anointed. Do you know that? He never said, pray for me that I'll be anointed. But you know what he did pray? He said, pray that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth with boldness and make known the mystery of the gospel. Two things that we can pray for. We can pray this for yourself, but we can also pray this for in a body like this. Amen? We can pray for utterance, and we can pray for boldness. Let's do that right now. Amen? Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for divine utterance in the name of Jesus. Utterance and boldness to speak your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you, we had Remedy Healing School right before this, and I'm on that wing right now, praise God, flying. Glory be to God. Praise God. God is so good. Last week, can everybody hear me okay? Okay. Last week, we began to talk about this subject up here called the God of all increase. And I was seeking the Lord. I was praying and asking the Lord for wisdom about the coming year, which was 2016. I was praying about this in 2015. And these things came to me, and I shared this a little bit last week, and I want to say it again, because we're going to take a few weeks and talk about this. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you have in mind for 2016? What do you have in mind for 2016? So I began to listen inside here. Now, you don't go to listening with these ears. You go to listening to the inner man. That's why the Bible says, if any man have ears to hear. Now, they had natural ears. He said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen? So I began to ask the Lord. He said this. He said, 2016... The Lord said this, I have increase on my mind for every area of your life. Personally, now this applies to us, in your health, in your family, in your finances, in your influence, in every single area of your life. God has increase on His mind for you this year. God doesn't want us to have a scarcity mindset. Now, I'm not just talking about finances. That's part of it. But a scarcity mindset is like we never have enough. Okay? And we saw last week that we see this example in the scripture that concerning the Israelites, that God took the children of Israel from the land of not enough, which is Egypt, to a land that's just enough, that's the wilderness, to a land that was ultimately more than enough, the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey. So they started out with nothing, not enough, to just enough, to more than enough. Now Israel is a type and a shadow of the church. All right? They are a type and a shadow of the church and the progression that we see here. And we saw that God said to the Israelites, He says, I'm going to bring you into a place where you're going to possess homes that you didn't build, vineyards you didn't plant, gardens you didn't plant, houses full of good things. And the Lord says, I'm going to bring you into a place you're going to possess those things. Now, you know, that sounded like a dream to them. And so many times, you know, when we read the scripture, we look at it like the Sears catalog at Christmas. When I was a kid, we'd go through all the catalogs. This is before computers, you know what I mean? Now you go through the internet, you know, but back in those days, you know, back how many years ago that was, you know? And you get those big, thick catalogs. My sister and I, we would go through, before Christmas, we would go through those catalogs and we'd check off the things that we really wanted to have. And we never got all of it, you know? Because we was Poe, you know. Well, you know, a lot of times people look at the Bible that way. They get through and they think, oh, I'd love to have this. I'd love to have that, you know. But the Bible is not about a book of wishes. Like, I wish I could have that someday. The Bible is a book of promises that God says, this belongs to you. This belongs to you. Now, I'm stirred up in my mind and in my heart because the Lord will always start to talk to you when you don't have anything. He'll start talking about increase when you've got nothing. Okay? How many of you are thankful for that position? God will start talking to you right where you're at because He loves you too much. He loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to keep you where you're at. Okay? And He wants to bring us into a place where we have an overflow, abundance, like Psalm 23 says, my cup runneth over. Not barely, my cup runneth over. Well, doesn't God know when the cup's full? But He says, my cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Do you ever pour a glass of water or something and you know when it fills to the top? Do you just keep pouring? No, because it'll overflow and go on everything else, right? But God doesn't look at it that way. He doesn't consider that waste. Amen? Now, when God created, I'm just in review right now. When God created what we know today is the earth and the heavens and everything that exists, we know that He took 6 days of creation, literal days of creation. And on the first day He did this, and the second day He did that, and the third day He did this. We covered this last week. On the sixth day, God created the animal kingdom that we see today. Not your neighbor, but the animal kingdom and so forth and so on. And then the last thing that God created after He made everything was He made Adam His man. Okay? And then, of course, on the seventh day, God did what? He rested. He was finished. Okay? God's allowed to take a break on the seventh day. He made everything in 6 days. Amen? Well, when God created Adam, He didn't create him on the first day. This became a real revelation to me some time ago when I began to realize God prepared everything in advance for Adam. And then He put him in the garden. He didn't put him on a moon surface. You all know what the moon looks like? I mean, there's nothing there. It's just dirt. Yeah, cheese. It's just a big ball of dirt. Okay? And people send spaceships out billions of miles away to see what's on a planet. It's the same thing. It's just dirt. Okay? God only created one earth. Amen? And it's interesting because the whole thing complements the earth. The moon controls the tides and so forth. And everything is to minister to the earth, the whole solar system, the sun, the planets, everything is there to minister to the earth because the earth is the object of God's blessing and God's goodness, okay? Now, I'm saying all that to say this, that when God created Adam and He put him in that garden, He didn't put him there on a blank planet. There was no vegetation, no water, no animals, you know. He could have, but He didn't. He did everything first, beautifully. And then He said, all right, now I'm going to create him. So He formed him out of his body, out of the dust of the ground, okay? And then He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, that doesn't mean that God blew him up like a big balloon, like, you know what I mean? Oh, there's Adam. He's like a balloon floating around. What that means is God spoke into him and he became a living soul. Man be. His body was standing there lifeless, you know what I mean? And it was just a blob of dirt, okay? But it didn't become alive until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And I did research on this because I've heard it quoted, but I went back and dug it out for myself. The Hebrew sages, and I have the book at home, say this, that when God created Adam, he became another speaking spirit, just like God. So when God created Adam, he made God or Adam in his likeness and in his image. Okay? Praise God. That's what we're all about as a church, is to show people the goodness of God. I mean, that's the biggest goal you can have. Show people the love and the goodness of God. That's what people out here need. Amen? And God created Adam in his own likeness and in his own image. Hallelujah. And he gave him dominion over all the fish and all the birds. We know about that and so forth. But if you go down to Psalm 115, I had you turn there. And I want to show you this year. Now, it's so important. Boy, as a pastor, it's so hard sometimes. One of the most difficult things as a pastor is having enough time to share everything that God's put inside my heart. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult because there's only so much time that we have. Okay? We'll get to do something about that. Amen? God has increase on his mind for you this year. Now, some of y'all, you've been in the same position for maybe some time. Okay? Maybe there's been some problems, some issues that you're dealing with. It could be anything. And I know how the enemy operates because he likes to lie to you and tell you that this is the way your lot in life, this is the way it's going to be forever, and so forth. You ever have that thought cross your mind? Like, well, it was that way 2 years ago. It was that way 5 years ago. I guess it's going to be that my lot in life. No, Satan's a liar. He is a liar. And he is able to bring you to a place where you see his provision on your behalf. And I mean in every single realm. Amen. If you need healing in your body, it's right there for you. If you have a financial need, his provision is right there for you. If you need wisdom, you know, you got a situation, you got to have some answers. Well, his wisdom is there for you. Amen. Okay, so in Psalms 115, verse 9, we're kind of using this as our main text here. O Israel, verse 9, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Verse 10, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Everybody say trust. This word is used three different times. I want you to pay attention. Get your Bibles, get your iPads. I want you to see this, okay? This is the underlying message right here, is the word trust. If we want to see increase in our lives this year, and this whole psalm here is about increase, we're going to see that. We have to put our trust or transfer our trust in the Lord. Anybody here that has a bill, you can pull it out. What's it say on there? In what we trust? In God we trust. And I wonder how many people look at that and read that and say, in God I trust. But a lot of people say, in this I trust. In the economic system. And I'll tell you this right now. There's a lot of doomsayers and gloomsayers about America. Let me tell you something. Let me shout it at the top of the housetop here. God is not finished with America.
Amen.
Okay? Now, he is finished with that Babylonian system, which is man being his own God. Okay? Tower of Babel is all about building that. Let us make us a name, okay? Their trust wasn't in God. It was in themselves, okay? And God cannot bless that. God cannot honor that. We have to learn to trust in God. So notice it says in verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Verse 10, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Verse 11, I like this. Ye that fear the Lord. So if you're not of the house of Aaron, if you're not of the house of Israel, ye that fear the Lord, say, I fear God. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Can you see in those three verses right there as we're moving in here that the word trust is really important? Say, I will trust in the living God. Now, the New Testament says that in Timothy, the scripture says, I'm just going to quote this because of time, but it says, charge them that are rich in this world not to be heady or high-minded or stuck up. But to trust in the living God who richly gives us all things to enjoy. Okay? Now, the Lord doesn't want you to love things. And I was convicted on this because sometimes we in our modern English vernacular, we'll say, I love my car, or I love that clothing item or whatever. I love that dog or cat, you know what I'm saying? For me, it's the dog, but we always seem to get off on that. But we don't want to love things. We want to enjoy things. Well, it's okay to enjoy your car or your clothing, your house or whatever, you know what I mean? God wants you to give. He gives you all things to richly to enjoy. He just doesn't want you to love those things. That's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Okay? And so I had to really train myself to stop saying, I love doing this, I love doing that. Well, I enjoy doing that, but I love people and I love God. The only object of my love towards others should be God and people. I don't love my house. I don't love my car. I don't love my clothes. But I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my God. And I love you. Hallelujah. And the rest is all going to pass away anyway. Amen. That car is going to burn someday. I say, bless God, I was burning oil on the way here to this church today. But if you ever get behind someone that's burning oil, close the windows, that's still not good enough. You know what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is, people should be the object of love. We were, in God's mind, we were the object of His love. When He created us because, and I saw this one time, I thought, and the Lord showed me this. He said, Keith, what if you were the only person on this earth and you had $15 trillion in your bank account? I thought, that'd be pretty cool. He said, but what if there's nobody else on the earth? And I thought about it. I thought, that wouldn't do any good. Because I can only do so much for myself. He says, He says, now you have the idea. He says, you know who I am, Almighty God, who created the heavens and the earth, and he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God owns it all. Okay, He owns this whole planet. Do you understand? Oh, glory to God. Amen. And he says, Keith, he goes, I'm so full of love and so full of mercy and so full of compassion that I have to just give it to people. And that's why I created Adam, because I wanted to give to him and give to Eve and give to the human race. For God so loved the world that he gave. Praise God. And so you and I are recipients and objects of God's love. Amen. We're not just objects. We're objects of His love. And that really started to change the way I thought, because he goes, now you understand why it's important to understand the biblical definition of. It's so easy to misinterpret. When you talk about increase and prosperity, all people see is dollar signs. That's only part of it. Okay? But that's only a piece of the pie. In God's pie, you got healing here, you got prosperity here, you got favor here. This is all part of the piece of the puzzle. That's what sozo means, S-O-Z-O, not bozo. Amen? Praise God. To be saved means to be made whole, to be healed and prospered and delivered. Thank you, Lord. And so he's talking to Israel and house of Aaron and ye that fear the Lord in Psalm 115. And look at verse 12. Are you ready? Ready or not, here we go. Verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. I don't know if it's the Message or one of the other translations says, no, it's the Living Bible. Remember the Living Bible back in the day? It says, God is constantly thinking of us. We are constantly on His mind. Wow. Now, I love my children. I love my wife. And I think about them a lot. But I'll have to admit, they're not on my mind 24/7. Because it's impossible to do that. There's other things I have to think about too. But you know, there is never a moment where you're not in God's heart, in God's mind. The Bible says He's inscribed us in the palm of His hand. We're the apple of His eye. And He loves you that much. Wow. Amen. Let's talk about this for a second here. I didn't plan on this, but the Holy Ghost does. Let's talk about the language of love. The language of love. What is the language of love? I'm saying this by faith right now because I don't know what it is. That just came up in my heart. The language of love is God on the scene in your life and my life to the people that are around us. Amen? Remember Jesus said in John 13, He said this statement, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." What was the indicator? By the love that you have one towards another. The world will look at us and say, look at how they love each other. I believe that's the way it is in our church. And getting better. Amen. I know if you look in the natural, you look in the flesh, you can get on one another's nerves real quick. Okay? That's any of it. How many of you in your own family, you can get on each other's nerves sometimes. In the flesh, if you're looking just in the flesh. But we're not in the flesh. Amen. We're to see each other through the eyes of faith. You know, God, that's the way God sees you and me. He doesn't look at you and like you look at yourself. A lot of times you look at yourself a whole lot differently than the way God looks at you. You view yourself. Sometimes you're so hard on yourself. And God's not a hard taskmaster. Amen. He's not like the Egyptian people that were holding the Israelites in bondage and beating them if they didn't do the right thing. And even when they did the right thing, they were beaten. Just to beat them into submission. And sometimes you can be that hard on yourself. Listen, I know I was a firstborn. And firstborns can be tough on themselves sometimes. You know? And I used to be real hard on myself. If I failed at something, I didn't do the right thing, man, I'd condemn myself. I'd be real tough on myself, you know. I don't know why, just the way I felt about things. I had to learn some things way years later when I received Christ that's not the way God is viewing me. That if I made one mistake, He's ready to squash me down like a bug. That is not how God views you. He is your best friend. And when you received Him as your Lord and your Savior, He received you faults and all. And you don't have to clean your act up and then say, okay, Lord, I'm ready now. All right, I'm here for you. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. The Lord says, no, you come just like that song, just as I am, just as I am. Lynn shared something that was powerful right before in healing school. At the very end, it was so powerful. And she was talking about, maybe I'll have you read that scripture at the end too from that translation in the Message, Romans 8. Oh, it was just so powerful. And the language of love is the only thing that people are going to see. You know? Your coworkers, your neighbors, things like that. And if we get our perspective and our heart set on what's right. Yeah, we're a word church. We preach the word of God. But let me tell you something. The greatest of these is love. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13. Our main goal should become, we want to be lovers like Jesus Christ. And thank God, if you're born again, you have the love of God in Romans 5:5 that's been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, your spirit, by the Holy Ghost. I've got the love of God on the inside of me. And sometimes when your flesh is hurting and someone's done you wrong, you know, it's so easy to just shift into the flesh. But you know what I endeavor to do? I haven't always hit it 100%, but I'm trying. Even when I miss it, God still lives in me. He doesn't leave. He doesn't leave you. Even in your darkest hour, when you feel like you've really screwed up and really messed up, guess who's still there? God is still there. Amen. He's not saying, I'll see you later until you get your act together and then I'll come back some other day. Well, you'd be waiting a long time. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a lover.
I'm a lover.
Praise God. And love is, when you understand the love of God, it's security. Why do I become afraid? Fear, the Bible says there's no, perfect love cast out fear. Fear has torment. Yeah. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now that means this, understanding the love, how much God loves you, how much he cares for you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. I had a dream about 25 years ago, and it was a God dream. I might have shared this before. I probably have at some point. And I'm real particular about saying things like this because, you know, sometimes the way some people talk, it's like they have a dream every morning. They have a vision. Two angels appear for breakfast every morning. And that gets a little flaky. But there are God dreams. And there are God visitations and so forth, you know. And I had a dream one night. It was a spiritual dream, you know. And I knew exactly where I was. And I was in the part of Pittsburgh that I was near South Park. I was actually in, if you've ever been to South Park before, there's Corrigan Drive, and there's the big parking lot that's there where the ice skating rink is and so forth. It's been there for years, you know. In this dream, it was in the middle of the summer. Vivid. It was in color, too. It wasn't in black and white. And I'm dreaming like I was there, literally. And it was during this summer, and there's all these teenagers and young men and women hanging out in the parking lot where they hang out and just to hang out and stuff like that, you know, trying to be cool and stuff. And there was a kid on a pickup truck. It was like a red pickup truck, and he had the latch down on the back. Okay, and he was sitting on the back of his truck, just sitting there, just looking at traffic's going back and forth. And there's a bunch of people there. I'm watching this. And all of a sudden, in this dream, this Christian walks from over here somewhere. He walks up and starts sharing or witnessing to this young man. Looked to me about 22 years old, something like that. He starts sharing the gospel with him, but he's not, and I'm hearing everything he's saying, but he's not using wisdom. He's being condescending, and he's being condemning, okay? But I'm looking at this. I'm right there, and I'm thinking, oh, that's not wise. And I can see where this is going because as this Christian who's sharing the gospel of Jesus with this young man, as time went on, as 30 seconds, then a minute went on, he's getting frustrated. This young man is getting really frustrated. He's just irritated at this Christian because he's coming at him with the wrong approach. He's coming at him with guilt and condemnation. And it just got worse fast. Okay? And I'm thinking, why does he yield to something like the love of God here? What's he doing here? I was frustrated. I was in the dream and I was watching this happen. All of a sudden, the Lord gave me the ability to step into that dream myself. And I stepped up. And the same kid is, now this other guy's gone. Thank God. And I'll share this with you based on the scripture here, okay? So in this dream, this Christian was trying to witness to him. He got irritated. He left, you know, and the kid was frustrated. He was trying to witness to. I stepped up to the plate, so to speak, and he was right there sitting on the back of his pickup truck with his latch down on the back, you know. And I started to talk to him. Now, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I do remember this, that in this situation, when I was in this dream, I was communicating with this kid. I had so much compassion for this young man that it was beyond words. It was beyond anything I've ever experienced before. It was like wells of compassion that rose up on the inside of me, and I didn't say a whole lot, but when I started talking to him, he started responding to me. Little by little, he started responding to me. And I was able to share with him how much God loved him and cared for him. Make a long story short, I ended up grabbing his hands right there on the back of his pickup truck, prayed for him to receive Jesus, and he got saved right there. Okay? Instantly, I woke up. I was in that dream, and I woke up. I felt the anointing on me after. You ever have one of those kind of dreams? You feel the anointing on you? And I woke up, and I felt that anointing on me. And the Spirit of God then spoke to my spirit. He says, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Hallelujah. And it's in Jude. There's only one chapter, but in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, I'll just quote this. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The next verse, verse 21 says, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to talk about pulling people out of the flames of hell. But here's what the Lord showed me in this scripture. I mean, this is, I had a dream. Now the Holy Ghost is talking to me right after I woke up. I'm awake here. And the Lord said this, see, when you have compassion, you will make a difference. Josh, could you bring up Jude chapter 1 and verse 20? I want to show this to you. There's a progression here. I love when the Lord does this because I wasn't even planning on this. Not, this isn't in my notes. This is extra. Won't even charge you for it. But we need it, don't we? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But you, dear friends, now that's the message. Could you do the King James there if you wouldn't mind there? Okay, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, notice this, praying in the Holy Ghost. What's that mean? Praying in tongues. Okay? All right, look at the next verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Next verse. And of some having compassion, making a difference. All right? Here's what the Lord showed me. He said, when you operate in my love and my compassion, that's what's going to make the difference as far as you go, influence. How many of you want to influence other people? Oh, I do. Oh, I want to infect some people. Oh, yeah. With the love of God. Amen. Not some disease, but I want to infect people with the love of God, because that's the thing. That crosses. The love language crosses, thank you, Lord. The love language crosses all barriers, all languages, all nationalities, all skin color. There is none of that. Okay? Listen, when you're full of the love of God, you're colorblind. Okay? It takes away prejudice and everything else. How many of you know that? How many of you know if when you're born again, you ought not have an ounce of prejudice on the inside of you? Okay? Some people were mad at this man, this color, that color. That's ridiculous. Amen? Well, I won't get off on a rabbit trail there. But it says, of some having compassion, making a difference. Well, do you know where it starts? In verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're stirring up your inner man. Okay? You're stirring up your spirit man. And you're reminding yourself, wait a minute, there's somebody in there. God lives in me. Hallelujah. Some of you are getting this morning. Amen. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. How are we going to increase in our lives this year? Just have a few minutes left. Write this down. How are we going to increase in our lives this year? Number one, by looking to the Lord. Looking to the Lord every day. Now, you know what? I'll be honest with you, sometimes it just doesn't take a whole lot of time to do that. The Bible says, it talks about acknowledging the Lord in all your ways, you know. That just takes a moment. Man, you get up, you put your feet on the floor, you walk to the restroom, wherever you go, and you say, Father, you're half awake. And you're like, I acknowledge you today. I love you today, Lord. Amen. And by doing that, you're starting your day out on the right foot. Amen. I mean, it's before coffee and everything else. Lord, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you. Thank you, Lord. Go over to 1 Corinthians real quick here. Okay, let's talk about, in the time left that we have here today, God wants to bring increase in your life. He wants to bring increase in your life. But he wants to start with your spirit man. Okay? I'm just going to quote this because of time. But in 3 John 2, John the Apostle said this, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So, God wants us to be in health. It's written right there. He wants us to prosper financially. But he says, as your soul prospers. We have to have a prosperous soul. We're going to prosper in our bodies, physically, physical health. If we're going to prosper in our money and our finances, we have to learn to prosper in our souls, which is our mind and our will and our emotions. We have to prosper in that first. Renew our minds with the Word of God. Amen? Now, this may not be real jumping through the hoop type sermon material right now, but I'm telling you what, it is life sustainable information I'm sharing with you right now. You know, I could get up here and spit and shout and scream and jump around and holler, but you wouldn't remember a thing I said. But let me tell you something. A prosperous soul is when you have your mind renewed with the Word of God. Boy, I don't know about you, but I need my mind renewed every day. Renewed my mind with what the Word of God has to say. So let's talk about this just for a moment here. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1. We'll talk about the prosperous soul right here and how this happens right here. Because God wants to start bringing increase. When you increase, I'll say it like this. When you increase in your spirit and your soul, that's when you begin to increase in every other area of your life. It starts there. That's the birthplace of increase right there, is your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your spirit man. And you have to feed. I'll get into that in a second here. But look at Corinthians 3, verse 1 says this. Paul said this, And I, brethren, he's writing to the church at Corinth right here. He says, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual or as mature. He wanted to. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. All right? Do you see that? He was not able to feed them like he wanted to. Verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither are you able. All right? Now, Paul came along here and he said, I wanted to feed you with meat. I wanted to feed you some more meat of the Word of God. He says, but you weren't able to handle it. He goes, I had to go back to milk. He told that to the Hebrew Christians too. He goes, by the time that you ought to be teachers, you have one that someone comes and teach you again, the very basic oracles of principles of God. You know? And so God wants us, all of us as believers, to go from milk to the meat of God's Word, where we mature in the things of God, right? And that's what the local church is all about. It's a place where we can be accountable, a place where we can grow. It's very difficult for people to grow in the Lord outside the local church. You know that? There's a lot of people that need that revelation. But you don't. You're here. Amen. Glory to God. But notice it says right here, verse 2, I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither are you now able. Verse 3 says, for you are yet carnal. Now, what does carnal mean? It means flesh ruled. It's where we get our word carnivorous or meat. Paul says meatheads. He says, For you are carnal, body ruled, verse 3. For whereas, here's what he's talking about here. For there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as mere men? What is the biblical definition of carnality? Well, it spells it out right here. There's envying, jealousy, strife, division, and carnality. So you have this stuff going on in the church at Corinth. Corinth was, they were born again, but they were babes in Christ, okay? And so there was envying and there's strife. And I mean, from time to time, how many of you had to deal with some of these things in your own life? Let's just be honest here. Okay, all right. We've got a few honest people here. How many of you have to stand against jealousy sometimes? When God does something for someone else and you're like, they've been saved for 2 years. I've been saved for 25 years. Why did God do that for them and he didn't do it for me? But see, there's a big difference between, we cannot allow the spirit of jealousy or envy in our lives, that green spirit. I'm telling you, if someone gets blessed, we ought to be jumping in there and say, thank God you're blessed. I'm next in line. I'm telling you. But it's easy to get jealous of someone else's spouse. It's easy to get jealous of someone else's possessions, someone's job, someone's ministry. But we have to crucify that thing. That's the flesh. Amen. Now there's a difference between envying and jealousy. Jealousy simply says, I want what you have. I want the same thing. You got something, I want that too. You know. Envy takes it a step further and says, I want to deprive you of what you have so that I can have it. So that's even more wicked. Okay. Well, Paul is saying, he's addressing a church here that's full of baby Christians. And why does he know that? Because there's envying, there's strife, there's divisions. Amen. Listen, do you know what it takes sometimes, even like in a church setting like this, to make things work and not all everything works perfectly all the time? Amen. But we have to learn to roll with it. Not get bent out of shape if things aren't perfect. It's too hot in the room this morning. Okay. Well, we're going to do something about that. I can tell you that right now. Okay. But there's some bugs to be worked out, you know, with the lighting, the sound system, with heating and so forth. And, you know, it's a new territory. Yeah. Yeah. Clouds. There's clouds up there. Amen. But we have to be careful. I'm going all over the place here this morning. But we have to be careful with a perfectionist. Now, I believe in doing things the right way. I believe in being, you know, productive and doing things the right way. But we can't have a spirit that's a perfected type thing, you know, where everything has to be just perfect for me to be happy.
That's good.
Okay? In other words, if things aren't perfect in your house, then, man, I can't be happy. Listen, things don't have to be perfect in every sense of the word for you to have joy and for you to enjoy life. Boy, I tell you, I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Glory to God. I can be happy with 50 people as much as I can be happy with 500 people. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, when you see 500 people here, there'll be a lot more people here. You know, you're going to see the same pastor. I'm not going to be any different in that sense. The way I treat you now is the same way I'll treat 500 people or 1,000 people for that matter. Amen? Because my joy is not based on how many people I have in my church or how much money I've got in the bank, how many cars I have or don't have. My joy is not based on any of that stuff. My joy is based on my relationship with Almighty God. And that never changes. I get up every morning, Jesus says, hello, Keith. I can hear it in my spirit. He's been waiting for me all night to just get up and fellowship with me. Glory to God. That's how good God is. Amen? Now, in conclusion here, what time is it here? Ooh, we're almost out of time. So you see in verse 3, there's carnality, there's envying, there's strife, division, so on and so forth. Verse 4, he goes on to amplify this a little bit more. He says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another say, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed even as the Lord God gave to every man? Now notice, here's what I want to show you in verse 6. I have planted. Paul was the seed planter of the word. I have planted. Apollos watered. But who gave the increase? Okay. God is the God of increase. Okay. Our job is to plant the seed and water the seed. Now, in this case here, when Paul ministered the word of God to the church at Corinth, the first time they heard that word, that was a seed, they heard it. He says, I've planted. Here comes Apollos, who's a teacher of the word of God. He comes after the fact. They've been born again. He starts to share with them. He waters the seed that Paul planted. The first time you hear something, the truth, let's say you hear a truth about healing. There's a first time for everything. You hear the truth about divine healing. That's a seed. The next time you hear a message on that, that waters the seed. Okay? But it's God that giveth the increase. Okay? So my point being is this. We have to learn this year, like never before, to start planting the seed of the Word of God in our minds and in our hearts. And I praise God we got devices like this. That it's not just a phone, man. It's got everything on it. I mean, you know, I can download messages. I got hundreds of hours of messages on there. Okay? And if I go about in my business, if I go out and take a walk to get in shape or whatever, you know, I take that little thing with me, put the earphones in, and I don't just walk to just silence. I'm putting the word in my mind, in my ears, dropping down into my spirit. And after I get back after an hour or whatever, that's an hour of the word being deposited in my spirit. Glory be to God. So the word of God is seed. 1 Corinthians, or go over there, Josh. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Did you notice there that the word of God is called the incorruptible seed? Incorruptible seed. That means it can't be destroyed. You can take a corn seed, a peach seed, an apple seed, a pumpkin seed. You can destroy it where it will never produce again. But the Word of God is incorruptible seed. The seed of everything you need is the seed of the Word of God. But God won't plant the seed for us. He made the seed. We have to plant the seed. The seed is the Word of God. Seeds of healing, seeds of provision, seeds of favor, they're all in the Word of God. They're all scriptures. We take that seed, put it in our eyes, put it in our ears, speak it out of our mouth, and it drops down into our garden of our heart, and that's where it begins to produce. You know as well as I do that you cannot have a harvest without a seed being planted in any field. It's no different spiritually. Amen? I was watching something many years ago. It was a doc. It was the History Channel, and it was about Egypt. And I thought it was kind of interesting. And they were talking about the Valley of the Kings and stuff like that. Maybe you've seen that. And they broke into King Tut's tomb. Okay? Mr. Tut's been there a long time. His body has. He's in hell. But their mindset back then, of course, was that they took everything. That's why they had these big pyramids, because they put all their possessions in there with them. And so they broke through, and they got in there, and they found all kind of stuff, you know, chariots and stuff that he had. I mean, this is 4,500 years ago, you know, and it's just sitting there. Well, I was really interested in that, you know, because I love Bible and the Egypt and stuff like that and how that all goes back there. And one of the things that they found were these jars, these clay jars, okay? And there was all this corn seed from Egypt that was Mr. Tut's personal corn seed, okay? And I thought, wow, that's been there a long time. And it was sealed so it didn't spoil, didn't rot. And they pulled it out. And they planted some of the seed from Mr. Tutt's tomb. And it produced a harvest of corn seed. Isn't that interesting? How would you like to eat that piece of corn? That ear of corn, huh? You know? Well, my mind was going all over the place with this. I thought, the Word of God is like that. It can be sitting dormant. You can have 50 Bibles in your house, 1,000 Bibles laying in your house, and it's just stored up in a bin. It's sealed up. But something happens when you crack that book, you crack that seal, and you open it up, and you take the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God, and you plant it in your heart, and you plant it in your mind. There it begins to grow. Now, that seed has been in that tomb for 4,500 years. I know over 4,000 years, something like that. That's a long time. But that seed, when it was put in the right environment and the right atmosphere, it got water, got sunlight, it produced just like that. Now, I wanted to say that, to say this. The seed is no respecter of ground. That seed will grow in any ground you put it in. Right? All things being equal. Your ground, your heart is like that. That's the spirit. Your spirit is the ground and the heart where the Word of God will flourish inside of you. So if you take a seed of one scripture, just start with one scripture, and you take one scripture in the Bible, and you begin to speak that, and you say that, you have just planted the seed of that word inside your soul, your mind, and in your spirit. Now, that seed will produce a harvest if you don't pull it up. Okay? How do you pull up your seed? Through unbelief, bad talk, wrong talk, fear, unbelief. You pull the seed up. Well, I planted a seed, but I don't know if it's working in my life. I heard that healing message this morning, Pastor Keith, but I'm not sure if it's working in my life or not. You just pulled the seed up. Okay? Amen? Amen. I was sharing this in healing school this morning. You know, the other three or four days ago, I was sitting in my family room, minding my own business, and I started sneezing, constantly sneezing, and I had my head filled up, congested, within a matter of seconds. I felt it in my sinus system. I felt it in my throat. I felt this, it just, and Lynn and Kelly were sitting on the other couch there, and I said, put the TV on pause. You were here this morning. You heard this. Won't hurt you again. I said, come over here, Lynn. I said, lay hands on me. I said, when you do, I will be healed. Make no mistake about it. Not, please, can you pray for me? I'm not feeling too good right now. I said, no, you come lay your hands on me and I will be healed. Well, Lynn, being the good wife that she is, she jumped up. She ran over to me, laid hands on me and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed, just like that, glory to God. And within 4 minutes, no more than 5 minutes, every symptom disappeared and left. Now, I remember in the past, when those symptoms would come on, you get these thoughts like, oh, I don't like this. Well, this is going to be another week or something like that. You know what I mean? But I jumped on that thing like a tick on a dog because I thought, this thing doesn't belong to me. I'm redeemed from this mess. And so are you. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you're redeemed from that mess and that sickness, that curse of sickness and disease and poverty and all that oppression. Glory to God. And I praise God because, you know, it's the Word of God that heals us. Just having faith in the Word of God. It's not that I have any special thing with God or special faith. I don't. I'm no different than you. I might have a different call, but I don't have more faith than you do. We all have our own calls. God's called us to do certain things. But the seed of the Word of God, if it's planted inside our hearts, it will work every single time. Even right now, as you're sitting in this room right now, the seed of God's Word has gone forth into your hearts and your minds and your hearts today. Do not pull that seed up by so-called concerned individuals. You have to be careful with that. So that people, you know, these could be believers too. They'll say, so tell me, how do you really feel? Well, it still hurts. I still got this. I still got that. By concerned individuals that can talk you right back into unbelief. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Well, honey, I'm really concerned for you, you know. I've had people say that to me through the years, say, honey, I'm really concerned for you. Even loved ones say, I'm really concerned for you. Are you okay? Well, there's no faith in that. I hear fear. And sometimes I have to say, Mama, everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
It's going to be all right. Everything's all right. All shall be well. That's all I need to know. I may not know how it's going to be well, but I know God will work it out. Because my trust is not in humans, it's in God. Your trust, if it's in God, it's going to work out. Listen, do not let your head get in the way this year. Okay? Don't try to keep figuring out how this is going to happen, how that's going to happen. You know, it seems like a fairy tale. Let God be God. Your job is to be a seed planter and a seed waterer. That's it. Okay? God brings the increase. That's the point I think that God wants us to bring home today. One plants, one waters, God gives the increase. You can't make the seed grow, but you can plant the seed and you can water the seed. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Did you ever order something online before? Did you ever do that before? You get on there and you see what you want and then you get your credit card out, whatever, and you type it in there and press that button, confirmation. Boom, it's on its way. As far as you're concerned, it's already done. You're waiting for the brown truck to show up. But you've established the fact. You put your order in. Your eyes haven't seen it. Your ears haven't heard it. It's not even there yet. You bought it. You paid for it. It's on its way. It's on its way. And when you believe God, the very point that you believe God, you've just pressed your confirmation. I never said that before. You just press, because it says you have to confirm it, right? When you purchase something, you already put your numbers in there, information, your credit card and everything and so forth. Now it says press this button for the confirmation. You want to do this, go through with this. You press that, boom. You get an email, it comes right away. It says your order will be shipped. Here's the tracking number, okay? Our tracking number is the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us it's there for us right now. We have it right now. Praise God. I'm not looking to get blessed this year. I am blessed. You're not looking to get blessed. You are blessed. You're not looking to get healed. You are healed. It's already in you. It's Jesus. He is your healer. He is your financier. He is your everything. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.